Could we read, please, in Genesis chapter 22, first of all? It's a privilege to be back here in Fairview, and certainly a privilege to be able to open for our brother Peter. Genesis chapter 22, and reading verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. John's Gospel, please. John chapter 3, reading verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our final portion will be in the book of Revelation. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And we trust the Lord will bless to us each one the reading of His Word. What's upon my heart tonight? I'd like to speak for a few moments of the provision of God. We read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8 that Abraham said to his son Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. John chapter 3, we read, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I like to look at that as the provision of God with one condition, whosoever believeth. Revelation chapter 20, we read here of a very solemn scene. A great white throne, the Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, sitting upon the throne, judging the dead in a day that is yet future. I read those solemn words in verse 15, Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The provision of God with one consequence. Whosoever was not found written was cast into the lake of fire. As I read through the Word of God, I remark time and time again, when I think of the dealings of God with man, I think it's a principle that every single time you can see man creating a need, man in his selfish, impulsive nature, he runs on headlong and he creates a tremendous need. And God, in his loving, tender compassion, makes provision to meet that need. You remember back in the beginning, Adam and Eve, because of their disobedience, because of their sin against the Holy God, they found themselves driven outside the garden. They were naked. They were destitute. They had nothing. And yet God graciously provided for them coats of skins. You remember again the people in Noah's day. You remember that after they had done tremendous wickedness in the sight of a holy God, we read that that wickedness was so bad that every thought of the heart of man was only evil continually. His imagination was entirely corrupt. He had gone so far away from God that he had done that which was right in his own sight. He despised a holy God, so much so that the judgment of God came to fall upon those people. And yet, in the loving tenderness, the compassion of the heart of God, he provided an ark for those people. And he had an open door that any person could enter into that ark. God was providing for them. What about the Israelites? You remember that after God had taken them out of the land of Egypt, he had freed them from their taskmasters. He had taken them through the Red Sea. He had destroyed their enemies. God had done every single thing possible for them. On the other side of the Red Sea, he fed them with bread from heaven. And then that time came where they turned against God. And when they murmured and when they grumbled and complained, and because of their complaints, God allowed those fiery serpents to go into their camp. Many people were bitten. Many people were bitten by those fiery serpents, and they lay a dying. Once again, God provided for their need. That loving, tender compassion of God reached out to those people. And he said to Moses, take a pole, take a brass serpent, put it upon that pole, put it in the middle of the camp, where it could be seen by all. And whosoever shall look upon that pole shall be saved, shall not die. Can't you see, my friend, a principle throughout the Word of God, how that every single place man, in his selfish impulse of nature, creates a tremendous need, God, in loving compassion, provides for that need. We read here in Genesis 22 about Abraham and his son one day. God told Abraham, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Abraham probably at that time might not have understood what God meant. But in obedience to his God, out he went, he saddled his ass, and he went 3 days' journey. He got to that place that God had told him of. He turned to his servants, and he said, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And I just like to take that verse that we read in verse 8. And I think of how Abraham made his way up that Mount Moriah. And here he had the wood. He had the fire. He had the knife. I don't know what Isaac must have been thinking. But it would seem halfway up that mountain, Isaac turned to his father. And he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I'd just like to take those words that Abraham said. My son, God, will provide himself a lamb. And Newbery says, my son, God, will provide himself the lamb. I wonder what Abraham must have thought. He was the one who was called the friend of God. He was the one who would know an intimate relationship with God. And he was the one that God had told him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I wonder what Abraham saw as by faith he would look out into the future, into thousands of years to come, and to say to his son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. The provision of God. The provision of God with one condition. John chapter 3, we read of how God so loved the world. Most likely every person in this meeting could quote that verse verbatim. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. A provision of God. But what about the need? Yes, my friend, if you're in this gospel meeting tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus, if there has never been a time in your experience where as a lost sinner you came to God, bowed your knee in his holy presence, acknowledged your sin, and received that one as your own personal Savior who died there for you, if there has never been that time in your life, you have a tremendous need, my friend. You have a need that cannot even be described. You are in danger of hellfire, the lake of fire for all eternity. Well, you say, why? You remember back in the beginning, God created man in his own image. Romans 5 and 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were just noticing today, this afternoon in the home, that we sin because we're sinners. It's the very nature of man. And that man is not going to hell because he sins sometimes. That person is going to hell because they're lost. Because they're born ruined in sin. Dead in sins and in trespasses. Separated from a holy God. Born into this world condemned already. We read in John chapter 3 and 18 that if ye have not believed, you are condemned already. Further than that, we read in John 3 and 36 that he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God presently abideth upon him. My friend, you have a tremendous need. You have an incredible need that you cannot provide for. You are without strength in this world. When it comes to taking away one sin, not one of us could give $1 million. Not one of us could give anything that we had to take away one sin. And yet God says we're condemned already. But because God is not only a righteous God, not only a holy God, not only a just God, he's a loving God. And he's made a provision. And that's the good news that we can tell you tonight. There is provision made for you. There is provision under one condition. Whosoever believeth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That lamb had to come from God. That lamb had to come from the immediate presence of God. A place where there was no sin. That lamb had to be spotless perfection. That blood that was shed had to have virtue. That blood that was shed had to be the blood of a sinless victim. And so from the very side of God in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ came down into this world, down to the cross and the death of shame. He went all the way to lay down his life for you and I. You know, sometimes we sing, he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. Tell me, my friend, if that isn't love. It is love. It is love from the very heart of God to the unlovable. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. What's the one and only condition? Whosoever believeth. You might be in this gospel meeting. Perhaps you've been like me, raised in a Christian home, knowing the gospel from day one. And you might have this tremendous struggle. How can I be saved? How can I believe? By simply taking God at His word. God says that He gave His only Son. And God says that whosoever, any person, if they will simply receive that free gift of God, you can't work for it. You can't do anything to pay for your own sin. But yet, when you and I created that tremendous need, God, in loving provision, has provided salvation for you. All you have to do is reach out that hand of faith and say, Jesus, I will trust Thee. I will trust Thee now. Guilty, lost, and helpless, Thou canst make me whole. The provision of God with one condition. What about the provision of God with one consequence? What if I live my life? What if I reject the Word of God? What if I reject this tremendous provision that God has provided? What if I go my own way and say, God, I don't need you? There's a tremendous consequence. A consequence that you and I or any human mind could not fathom. What it must mean, or what it will mean, for those people to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that they had an opportunity to be saved, realizing that they rejected that one that so lovingly, graciously shed his blood for them, realizing that there is one that could have saved them. And they went on in their life, and they turned away from God, and they turned away from God's provision. What will it be like, tell me, my friend? Will you be there? What would it be like to stand before the Lord Jesus? Not a mouth will be open. Every knee shall bow. There be no excuses, no reasons, nothing that will hold any weight. The books will be open. And if your name's not found written in that Lamb's Book of Life, we read here that God says, whosoever was not found written was cast into the lake of fire, in eternal judgment, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. An endless judgment for sin. Oh, my friend, tell me, would it not be wise? Would it not be logical? Would it not be the right thing to do? Is to come right now, while there's opportunity, bow your knee in the presence of a holy God. Acknowledge your sin. Jesus died to save you. He's waiting to save you. He's able to save you. All you have to do is come. We trust that no person in this meeting would say, God, I trust no person I ever have known in my life, whatever be classed in this category, whosoever was not found written, was cast into the lake of fire. The provision of God with one condition, whosoever believeth. The provision of God with one consequence, whosoever was not found written, was cast into the lake of fire.